Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Yeah, I tell you what, you make a promise to God, you keep it. That means more than anything in the world. It had to have been so hard to take that only child up there and leave them with that fat man. You know, I can't imagine.
Knowing that things were out of whack to start with, to the point to where she knew that she had to dedicate herself before the Lord.
Absolutely. They knew that things at the tabernacle weren't right.
Right, right.
But she kept her vow, and God gave her many more children. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He hadn't instructed them properly as they were growing up, because the male lines in Israel had become complacent and they were not doing their jobs. They were not the leaders of their families anymore. That's why God used so many females in the book of Judges. And he said unto them, why do you do such things? For I fear of your evil dealings by all this people. I hear about all the stuff that you guys are doing. Why are you doing this? Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Yes, it's not only what you're doing. You're not taking the sacrifices properly, and they're not getting the benefits of them. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? It's your job to reconcile the sins of the people at the tabernacle. You're not doing it. You're doing your own thing. Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them.
There's another broken commandment, not honoring their father.
Yes, absolutely. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, speaking of Aaron, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? This man of God's coming to the chief priest, Eli, and saying, what is going on? You are the chief priest, the head of the house of Levi. What are you doing? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me? You have not made your sons to comply. Yeah, you've talked to them. They said, yeah, whatever, Dad. We do whatever we want. We got this racket down good. All these women coming up here. We're getting all the women we want. Yeah. We're getting all the meat we want. We don't have to do nothing. Nothing's happening. God's not doing anything to us.
The way you want us to do it, we're not going to get anything.
God's waiting for the Father to correct them.
Yep.
The Father doesn't correct them. He's going to come correct them himself.
Right. And the Father.
You keep your sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. You're taking the best of the offerings and eating it yourself. Look at you. You're fat as a cow. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thy house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall I lightly esteem. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel. And there is a point here coming up when God divorces the line of Levi. And from that point on, they will be priests in name only. They'll be priests in their own eyes, not in the eyes of God. There shall not be an old man in thine house forever, speaking of the house of Levi. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. This shall be a sign unto thee that thou shalt come upon that. This shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons of Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is mine, heart, in my mind, and I will build him a secure house. He shall walk before mine anointed forever, speaking of Jesus Christ. It shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and to a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. Chapter 3, 1 Samuel. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. God didn't visit very often anymore. When something did happen, it was big news. Came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, that never went out. Mm-hmm. That was one of the priest's solemn duties, was to keep it lit all the time.
It's called a near telmid.
Yeah.
But that light, you're absolutely right. In the temple to today, they still do the same thing. Keep it lit.
Where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. And he ran unto Eli and said, here I am, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. Get back in there. I didn't call you, boy. And he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, Samuel. Samuel rose up and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now imagine, oh, Eli's waddled out of bed. He's got his ear to the wall now, mm-hmm. to Samuel's room.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying, like that degree of separation he knows he feels.
Yep.
And then this kid's being freshly called.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, what the man of God had told Eli earlier. I'm going to perform them all. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restraineth them not. He's guilty by not fixing it. There, and he's not even the one doing it, but he knows about it, and it's his duty to fix it.
He knew, even though they're his boys and stuff like that, with them doing that, that he was supposed to put them down.
Yes.
Or have them put down.
Yeah. How many of you parents, you Christian parents, know your children are doing things that they oughtn't be doing? Did you know you're guilty of it too? For not putting a stop to it. Just like Eli here. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. They are past the point of sacrifice. You know, the law is bondage that's covered by sacrifice, separation from God, and death. He says here, the sacrifice will no longer even fix your house. It's going to end in death. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. And Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here I am. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. Tell me, boy, what the Lord God said to you last night. God do so to thee and more also if thou hide anything from me. Oh, he's threatening the kid.
Oh, man.
You tell me, boy, or I'll tell you what, God's wrath's going to be on you as much as it is on me. If thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Very good answer, Levi. Same answer Job gave. You know, whatever the Lord doeth unto me, it is the Lord's business. Praise ye the Lord.
And that's when they were questioning about the boils on his body, right?
Yeah.
When he's like, he wants to do it. That's his business.
Samuel grew, the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. This is the most gossiping kingdom ever on this earth.
Yes, you got the priest out there telling everybody what the discussion was.
Yeah, it's like when Naomi and Ruth came to town. The entire town buzzed.
Yeah.
You can't do anything in Israel that no one else knows about. It's going to be made known. And they didn't even have social media at the time. Mm-hmm. It had camel mail.
Yeah.
The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Chapter 4, book of 1 Samuel, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. WVFF 97.7. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. When the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Yeah, you notice some wording there, Mr. Jonathan?
Yeah, when it shall come among us,
right? It shall save us.
Yep.
This box.
Yeah, not God.
This golden box will save us.
Yes.
They are so far from God.
Yes.
They only look to trinkets in the tabernacle. I mean, yes, it's self-explanatory.
Nothing by faith here.
No.
It's all by sight.
No, yes, yes. Bring that golden box. It'll save us.
Yeah, I've seen it strike lightning before.
Yeah, so I've heard stories. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring forth thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. I guarantee you, they rented it out. Yeah, y'all can take it. It's going to cost you. Yeah, 32 shekels of silver a day. How long are you going to have it for?
Yeah.
We got a weekly special.
Bring some Lawrence staves.
Yeah, a weekly spell. Oh, you want bearers too? Okay, that's going to cost you about 75 shekels a day. The ark and the staves and the bearers.
Cleaning process or the
process. Yeah, you got to have it back by Friday afternoon, because if not, we charge you all day for the weekend on the Sabbath. We won't take it back on the Sabbath. I'm sorry.
No, that's
it's okay to have fun with God's word. This is how bad these priests had gotten.
Right.
This is a lucrative business to them.
Mm-hmm. they have the red light district set up.
It's there's no longer any fear of God. That's coming. Yes. There's no longer any fear of God. How can we profit from this tabernacle? When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp of Israel, all Israel shouted with a great shout. The earth rang again. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of Hebrews?" They understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. The Philistines were afraid. They'd heard stories of this golden box also.
It's almost like they knew more about their God than the actual Israelites did.
You're going to see that. There is more fear from the people, fear of God, which is the first part of understanding. Mm-hmm. There's more fear of God amongst the inhabitants that lie outside the nation of Israel than there is among the Israelites.
Right.
And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." No. They didn't call God to the camp. They said, "Go get the box. It will save us."
Yes, it will save us.
And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing hitherto for. We've heard stories of this years ago, but this hadn't happened lately. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods?" These are the gods that smote the Egyptians. They're using plural there. Mm-hmm. You know, they know, but they don't know.
Right.
You know, for all they know, there's the god that they talk about, and there's also the golden box god.
Yeah. And you got to think, too, a lot of them are like, well, there's a god of the wind, the fire, the you know, earth. So.
These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. Now, we're talking 300-400 years later after the Exodus from Egypt. And these stories are ringing throughout the countryside still of what God did throughout the countryside, but not in the land of the Israelites. They've forgotten it all. "O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." Calm down. Calm down. It's just a golden box. What do they call it? The Ark of the Covenant? Yeah, that's all. "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. Then they fled every man into his tent. There was a great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Last time we put our faith in that golden box. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not making light of the Ark of the Covenant. But they didn't call for God to come. They didn't call for guidance from God. They called to bring the Ark of the Covenant that it might save them. You got to look at every word in this book. It might save us. No, the Ark of the Covenant was representative of the presence of God. The presence of God did not go before the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had no power whatsoever.
It was just a box at that point.
Yeah, and it shows you right here in 11 why it was just a box. "And the Ark of God was taken. Yeah. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." Just what God told Samuel a few years earlier. In one day, both of them would be killed. And the most precious religious ornament that Israel had is taken, and both of their priests are killed. Shows you the power of the priesthood at that point. None whatsoever. I mean, like Jonathan said a few minutes ago, these guys had set up a red light district where the tabernacle was. You could have a tent of prostitutes right next door to God's tabernacle. They were stealing from the sacrifices. It was a profitable incursion that they were doing. It was nothing to do with being a priest and an atonement for the people. It was nothing to do accepting the sacrifice in place of God. What the priest was for had become a profitable venture. Little Phinehas LLC.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hophni and Sons.
Yeah.
Get your ephods here.
That's right. Two for one.
Yeah, sure, they're made in China, but they're good.
Yeah,
they're
fine.
Good.
Look at that quality.
Make sure you don't wash it in warm water, all
right? That's right. Don't wear it too long because it might turn green. But yeah. That just means that you're in sin.
Yeah. You get a green ring around your finger, it means you're sinful. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent. You get ready to see Eli's end here. And with earth upon his head. And came he went, and when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. He was terrified that the ark of God had left Shiloh. When the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult? What is all the confusion?" And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, and he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "Where is there done? What is there done, my son? What has happened? What's happened in the battle?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines. And there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God has been stolen, taken." Chapter 4, verse 18. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell off from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke. And he died, for he was an old man and heavy. He's a big fat guy. And he had judged Israel 40 years, you know. So the Philistines are coming in again. I mean, Samson had wiped out the entire leadership of the Philistines and freed Israel not so long ago. But now they've come back for revenge. And they're getting it because the spiritual presence of God in Israel is not active because the people are not following God with their hearts. They have forgotten his statutes. They've forgotten all of the things that he told them to do. And every man is living and doing things that are right in his own eyes. You have no moral guidance. You will not succeed. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered, when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead. She bowed herself in travail, and her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. What did the man of God say? The line of Eli would be destroyed. Mm-hmm. Oh, them people's paying for their father's sins in situations like this. Absolutely. God says, "For those who hate me, I will rain judgment to the third and the fourth generation." These priests disdained God. Mm-hmm. They're standing in the priestly office and giving God the finger, as to say, "We're not going to do things the way you want. We're going to make a profit. Mm-hmm. We're going to do things the way we want. This has become a lucrative business for us." And their dad comes over and says, "Boys, you can't do this. You know, don't do this, boys. I'll, you know what, Dad? We got this. You're old. Go over and sit over there.
Yeah, you can't we got this.
You had your time as priest. We're having our time as priests. I tell you what, we're doing a whole lot better job than you are. You were poor all of your life. Mm-hmm. We got everything we could ever want.
Plus 30 wives.
That's right.
Yeah.
We know how to do this. We got a racket going there, Pop." Yeah. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God is taken, because of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." She had some fear of God. Mm-hmm. Chapter 5, you're going to see one of God's... God has an incredible sense of humor. Don't you agree, Jonathan?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yes. I see him sitting up there with Jesus, probably Michael's. You know what we're going to do? He whispers in there. They all start laughing. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. 20 years from now, this person's going to cross this person's path. And yeah, that's it. And them sitting on this side or on that side of things, yeah, watching it happen within a split second.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. y'all want to steal my Ark of the Covenant?
Okay.
Yeah. Watch what happens here, fellas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This, you know, it just came back to me. Like, about what was cast, the golden little things. And, oh, yeah.
And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, which was their god, mm-hmm, and set it by Dagon. Now, picture Dagon is like this big Egyptian-looking dog-headed dude with big pointy ears. Normally his hands are out forward, and he's probably stands probably 12, 15-foot statue. That's their god. And when they of Ashdod rose early in the morning, so they brought the Ark of the Covenant, and they set it next to their god, Dagon. And some of God's humor coming in here now. Mm-hmm. When they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So he's like bowed down to the ark of God.
He's worshiping.
Yes. How in the world? This statue weighs 1,500 pounds.
God doesn't bow to anybody. Wait a minute.
Yeah, you know, Dagon don't do that. I've never seen him move. But he is our almighty God. Yeah. Never seen him move once. It took 15 guys to bring this statue in here.
Maybe the lady bumped it with a feather.
Yeah, it must have had an earthquake last night. You feel anything, Jonathan?
Nope.
They took Dagon and set him in his place again. When they arose early in the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. God chopped his head off and both his hands and still bowed him over before the ark.
Message.
Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod unto this day. They were in fear when they came in that day. Who could possibly do this to Dagon? But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them at Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods, even Ashdod and all the coasts thereon. Okay. Emrods. What an interesting word.
It's not emeralds.
No, it's not. It's hemorrhoids.
Yup.
God gave all of them massive hemorrhoids. Mm-hmm. I've never actually had one, but I hear they're not fun to have.
No. No bueno.
I hear it makes it quite difficult to sit down.
Or walk. Or run.
Or stand or up.
Stand up.
Or walk, yeah, like you said, or run.
Down, sleep.
Or just stand in one place. Let's just say it's not a fun thing to have.
No.
Not even something you want to tell your neighbor that you do have.
No.
Hey, Bob, why are you walking so funny? I'm good.
Got a pair of channel locks in my back pocket. Can I latch down them? Anyway.
When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." Man, we got to get rid of this thing. Everybody's got hemorrhoids, and Dagon, the statue of Dagon's chopped in pieces. Mm-hmm. They sent therefore the gathering all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." Let's send it to the other city over there.
Get it out of here.
You remember them guys over in Gath? Yeah. Remember that party we had and one of them offended you? Let's send it over there.
This is what we do, yeah.
I never really liked those guys anyway.
Very, very bad fraternity prank.
And they carried the Ark of God of Israel out thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction, and he smote the men of the city, both small and great. And they had hemorrhoids in their secret places also. I can see that they're carrying the ark on the stage. They get over to Gath, and the city fathers are at the gate. We have a gift for you, O city fathers of Gath. What is that? This is the Ark of the Covenant of the Israelites, the most precious ornament that they have. Why are you giving it to us?
Yeah, you guys are good neighbors.
Yeah, we like you guys. Yeah. We've had it for a while, and you know, we want to share it with you guys.
You guys come in and have a seat. No, we're good.
No, we're good. Why are you guys walking so funny? Oh, this thing is heavy. Yeah. We've been carrying it for a while. Here, take it.
By Dagon's orders.
Yeah. Therefore, they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. They sent it to a different city after that. So the people of Gath, they realized they'd been duped by the other folks. They all got hemorrhoids too. Mm-hmm. Let's get this out of here. What do we do with it? Let's send it to Ekron.
Yeah, we just got that. What's the common denominator here?
Of all the people that we know, don't the Ekronites deserve hemorrhoids more than anyone? Therefore, they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the Ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the Ark of God of Israel to us to slay us. They had heard about it. No, get it away. And our people. You see away guys, with you.
You see those guys walking slow across the field carrying that box? Don't let them in here.
We've heard how none of you can even sit in chairs anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
You know what? I have more fun reading this Bible. How many of you can say that? No. You start reading your Bible, what happens? You go to sleep. No, this book is full of enchantment. It's full of amazing stories. It's hilarious at some points. It's horribly, horribly sorrowful in other points. But it's okay. God is the God of love and joy. It's okay to laugh at what goes on in some of these things. So God has such an amazing sense of humor. Verse 11, chapter 5, book of 1 Samuel. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the Ark of God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people, for there is a deadly destruction. Interesting, isn't it, that how the Israelites sent to Shiloh to bring the golden box so it will save us.
Right.
Not God. Don't go to God and get guidance and take an offering and maybe God will come save. Bring the box, it'll save us. It didn't save them, but wherever it went, it caused destruction until it got back to where it was supposed to be. The power of God was available to them. They didn't ask for it. They asked for the golden box, the Ark of the Covenant. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city, and the hand of God was very, very heavy. And the men that... Did I miss a part?
No, you read from where you left off.
And the men that died not were smitten with the emrods. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. Chapter 6, 1 Samuel. Oh, it looks like we got to leave it there. I hate to leave it there. This is one of the funniest stories there is. Been good to be with you here today on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. Catch up with us on past episodes. Go to episode 1. If I can't convince you there are things in this Bible you've never heard before, then don't come back. Or bring your torch and your pitchfork to the studio. Yeah, we'll talk.
We have a fire extinguisher.
Yes, we do. It's called the Bible, black and white. Yeah. It's in there. Trust me, I read it to you in black and white, and I tell you how and why. But Like I said, go to WBFFradio.com and catch up on past episodes. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.